This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah, amma ba'd. First, I'd like to say that I'm extremely proud of the brothers and the sisters here in Australia, mashallah, talabillah. This poor slave of Allah has come to share. And I thought I came here to teach or share something with you, but I actually ended up learning a lot more from the mashayikh. May Allah bless them, inshallah, and learning about the brotherhood. You can really feel I differ, Sheikh, with the Sheikh Tawfiq, may Allah bless him, I learned from him too. Maybe he knows the inside, but the impression that I got, wallahi, is priceless. I saw Australia as beautiful in scenery. But what made this trip special for me was the brotherhood. May Allah bless you, inshallah, and keep that beautiful bond and the brothers that helped endlessly, the generosity. It was so beautiful. I was touched, wallahi. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts, reconcile our differences, and unite our goals, inshallah. I learned a lot more about Nando. And that aloe vera drink thingy, and mashallah. So this is something that I want to take back, inshallah, with us to Canada. Without any further ado, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to make this purely for His sake and accept from all of us. Ameen. The topic is the ideal Muslim family. And what better Muslim family could be more than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our uswa, as our role model, the leader, and the family that we can learn from. So I'm going to ask you, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to join me on a trip, a little journey back in time. I want to take you back where you can see the best of creation, alayhi salatu wasalam, how he lived, how he was the best in everything he did, the best father, the best husband, the best leader, the best prophet and messenger, the best man, the best son, the best of all, the best neighbor, and so on. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, so we know that the meaning of the translation or the interpretation is, we made amongst you مَوَدَّةً, love, compassion, rahma, mercy. So we say the foundation and the two pillars of the marriage should be those two, inshallah. So while we're going through this quick journey, let us take the ABCs quickly. In the time that is allotted, hopefully we will come up with solutions and a game plan and takeaways so we can start change. As we learned today from our mashayikh, jazakumullah khairan, and I have been taking notes, and I will be asking you some more, inshallah, later on. So the first thing, looking at it now as a proactive approach, how could I make this family an ideal Muslim family? And we say prevention is better than cure, said the dhara'i in Islam. Let's establish it in our Muslim family. And why is it so important to have a Muslim family? Because if you think about it, it is the bedrock of the ummah. The ummah is made of nations, and the nation is made of cities, and the cities of communities, and the communities of the family. So the bedrock of the ummah is a family. The household is what holds it together, makes it or breaks it for us. So let us visit that ideal Muslim family, and let us start from the beginning, meaning before it begins. So if you want to have a successful family, please understand that you should have a best partner. And the best way to start this is to follow the Quran and Sunnah. So let us listen. Before you become a reactive, let us be proactive. And number one haqq, number one rights for your children, believe it or not, before they're born, is to choose the righteous spouse, brother or sister that may be. So let us find out what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said of the choice quickly, and find out what happens in true life. Do we really heed to the message of Islam? Because if we do, we will be happy and pleased in this life and hereafter. But if we stay away from the teaching of Islam, we will pay the price in this life and hereafter. So first, let us talk to the sisters. When I ask the sisters, when they come to complain in the office, my husband drinks, my husband does drugs, my husband doesn't pray, my husband beats me up, my husband. You know what do I say to her? What do you think? I simply ask her, on what basis, ukhti, did you say I do to this man? So, I turn the table. It's true. We're not saying that we're not going to help the sister. But first, let us look at the decision-making process that we've made. So when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that two down payments of choosing is khuluq and deen and amana, another narration, the moral conduct, the behavior, the characteristics of this man, and the religious background, and the amana, trustworthiness, and we'll go into the Quran when we go back to the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam, when he says, Ya abati istajir, inna khayra man istajart al-qawi al-amin. Oh my father, hire him, because the best of those you've hired is those strong, the trustworthy. So let's go through these criteria, ukhti, and find out how you made the decision. If you're already married, we'll find out what you can do, inshallah. So now when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this khuluq, this manners, the moral conduct, we understand this only if we know that the nature of woman is emotionally based. As we know that the nature of man is a physically based, making the decision accordingly. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that fact, he knows that the man has to be sensitive to deal with an emotional woman. Even going back to Aisha radiallahu anha wardaha in Hadithat al-Ifk, this big grave lie that she was innocent of and declared innocent of in Surah An-Nur. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed Quran yutla min fawq sab'a samawat ila yawm al-qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses to be recited till Judgment Day, revealed from the seventh heaven. But at the time, Aisha radiallahu anha wardaha was flabbergasted. She could not rebuttal or communicate the information that she wanted to. Go back to the verse. أَفَمَنْ يُنَشَّأْ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرِ مُبِينَ. Those who grew up, they were raised in hilya. If you don't understand this, look at your young daughter. When you leave her alone for a bit, is that right, Aisha? Is she still here? She's here. MashaAllah. Just sleep. Let her be. You know, you find your daughter is sneaking. Going where? Through the drawers of her mother. Picking up the makeup. And all of a sudden you see this big red thing here, and yellow and green and blue and... أَفَمَنْ يُنَشَّأْ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ. They take those toys and they start making this doll. وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ. They're not a manifest, it's not clear, unobjective, when they start to rebuttal and argue. Because when we have it, men, we say 1, 2, 3, 4, we get to the facts, and. But the defense of a woman, when she starts to rebuttal, what does she do? Her defense is... How do you have a defense against that, man? You see these eyes that you love, you grow to love so much, and you start going... Okay, honey, I give. Okay, you win. But what did she say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba Dajmeen say, go back and thank Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But prior to that, what she say when she was accused? Imagine, put yourself in that position. When she says, Ya Abati, oh my father, defend me. So Wallahi la adri ma aqul. I don't know what to say. This is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying, Istaghfiri li dhanbik, Istaghfiri li rabbik. Ask Allah for forgiveness. So her own husband doesn't know what he's accusing of certain things. He's not accusing, but saying, ask Allah to forgive, just in case if he did. And even her father, He said, I don't know what to say. Her mother is saying, so wallahi, ma aqul illa ma qala al-abd as-salih. By Allah, I will only say what that righteous slave of Allah says. And she couldn't remember the name. This is فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانٌ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. That's what she was trying to say. Be comprehensive. This most beautiful, perfect type of patience. Complain to no one except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah assist me of that, what you attribute that to me. So you have to understand that that fact of sensitivity is attributed to that because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam looking after the woman in Islam. And the deen, according to one of the madhahib, that if you don't pray, you're not a Muslim. Could you imagine? If you don't pray, you're not a Muslim. It's not our topic, I won't go into it. But even then, could you take a chance, ukhti? Could you understand that even those children could be illegitimate children on Judgment Day? So Prophet Muhammad says, khuluq and deen. And amana, trustworthiness. And strength, as was mentioned earlier. We have a very limited time. This is a brief, inshallah, one. But when you ask the sisters, on what basis, ukhti, did you say yes to this man? What do you think they say? Did you see this? How could I say no to that? That's a beautiful ring. The man drove in with a Mercedes Benz. Oh, his hairstyle. Oh, are you kidding me? How could I say no to that? The man has been doing... Allahu musta'an. So now, just in case the brothers were thinking they were off the hook. Now, when I go to the university, as usual, I talk to the youth and I say, Akhi, do you remember what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? How do you choose your spouse? Do you remember the hadith? He says, Hadith? Was there a hadith? Says, I remember. I remember. What do you remember from the hadith, akhi? لجمالها, of course. I remember her beauty, of course. Do you remember anything, akhi? Wallahi, akhi, it's kind of vague, my brother. It's kind of, you know, tashash, you know, it's just, I can't remember. Tashash is a pure Egyptian word, just in case the brothers from. Oh, yes, I found out about Alminia, of course. You're right here, man. Don't mess around with the Minya brothers because. Okay. So now, when you talk to the brothers, what happened, man, to the hadith? What happened to the rest of the hadith? He says, I remember her beauty. Yes, Islam is a practical religion. He wants you to have a beautiful wife. No problems. Especially even in this society. Allah help you, man. You walk around downtown Sydney in the summer. You see things. Your sisters in humanity, and then you go home and look at your. So in Islam is a practical religion, says beauty is good. لجمالها, no problems, inshallah. But is there anything else, akhi? Yes. Alhamdulillah. He says, لجمالها. Yes, her wealth is good. The lineage, the upbringing, the environment that was talked about earlier. And so on. But Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكْ. The true winning, the true success is the owner of religion. So I want to give you an example that hopefully you won't forget. It's a visual. So please make sure it's imprinted in the back of your head, just in case, brothers, because I know there's a lot of single brothers here. I've been talking to them. But we're working on getting you married, inshallah. But said, Akhi, you have too many sisters around Sydney. What's going on? So I will, inshallah, leave a mashaykh. May Allah bless them to, I'm sure, Shaykh, Akhi, help the brothers, man. Come on. Allah understand. So now, the brothers, please, here we go. Shaykh, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the first thing on his list is, what was number one? Deen. You're right. Thank you. Number one on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's list, I'm not talking about the choice, because Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said beauty. But I'll explain that, because it doesn't go through against the hadith. I'll explain it. He says, look into the beauty first, because if a religion is no good, the refusal comes. Because the deen is the most important. So if her beauty is good, the religion is good, go on. But if the beauty is no good, move out. Because if the beauty is no good, then you find out the deen is good, you refuse her because of the... You cannot refuse her because of the deen. So the, according to the Prophet ﷺ, says number one is deen, most important. And now she's beautiful. Alhamdulillah, that's a blessing. So add as the other zero, now she's a 10. Now she's rich. Bonus. It's 100%, man. She also comes from a good family, upbringing, good lineage. She's batting 1,000. Now take away the deen. What do you got? You got 3 zeros. Enjoy. This is just a quick introductory to how to choose your spouse. We talk about this inshallah in more details tomorrow, and even more details when I come back bi'idhnillah with teaching at the home sweet home with Al-Kawthar inshallah next year. But no. Exactly. Now the second phase. Now understanding the difference between the two, please understand, I'll only give you this. Can't go into too much details. As we mentioned, the woman is emotionally based and men are physically based. So men will learn to love the woman they're attracted to. And women will learn to be attracted to the man they love. The choices are based on this, believe it or not. But let us go through a quicker journey, inshallah. Let us take Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How did he do with Khadija radiallahu anha? Who was Khadija to him? When he saw Jibreel alayhi salam, when he says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, shivering and shaking, afraid. Most of us, brothers, if you're afraid, if you have a problem, where do you go? You go to your buddy, you go to the posse, right? You go to you go, where's the hood? You go to your best friend. What did Prophet Muhammad ﷺ do? He did the same. He went to his best friend. Who was his best friend? Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So you ask yourself, akhi, is your wife really your best friend? A best friend that's a lover is the best combination. How did Prophet Muhammad ﷺ deal with Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha? Wasn't he the one that when Aisha radiallahu anha wa ummat al-majma'in ajma'in, when she took the glass of water and drink from it, she placed it down. Wasn't he the one that took the same glass, turned around, placed his lips where her lips were and drink from it? It's a beautiful romantic story. You can read about Samson and Delilah. You can read about Tarzan and Jane. You can read about all these fiction characters and Romeo and Juliet. And yes, whatever, throw down your hair and all these fancy characters and all that stuff. Wallahi, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha radiallahu anha, the best of the romantic stories, true stories. Wasn't he the one that had a foot race with Aisha radiallahu anha? Remember when the beginning of marriage? He had a foot race, but Aisha was young, thin, strong. She beat him in the first race. But then he says, Aisha, sit down, eat this, drink that. No, don't work so hard. She got a little bit older, a little bit heavier. Says, let's race again. So the second time he beat her. He says, هذه بتلك. We're even now. Look at the beautiful spirit. Look at the beautiful Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he dealt. So how could you not, akhi, take your wife out and deal with her? I'm not asking you to have a foot race now, Australian. You'll be arrested, akhi. I'm asking you to have this beautiful spirit with your wife. This bond, the strength, the beauty of that love. He used to say, رُزِقْتُ حُبَّهَا, declared that I love even Khadija and Aisha radiallahu anhu. But how are you doing with your wife, akhi? Can you actually say, we can't say I love you to your wife. You know why? Because we carry old baggage from the what we call back home, because it's, you're a man? Who's the man? You're the man? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. But the man is actually narrated in the Quran. Fiha rijal. Where? In the masajid. I won't go there, it's another topic with the youth, inshaAllah. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared his love to her, to Aisha. So how could we not? He leads by example. We're asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow. He's our uswa, he's our role model, he's our leader. We follow suit, inshaAllah. Akhi, give her that beautiful gift. You know, men, we can't express our love very much. This is just another difference between men and women. So, ukhti, I'll give you a secret. The secret is very simple, but we'll go in details again tomorrow, inshaAllah. Man can express his emotions and feelings verbally, so he uses materialistic possession. It's true. This is how he expresses himself. So when you see him give you that flower or chocolate or gift, it means, I love you. Are you taking notes down, man? You better write this down. Chocolate, flowers, poetry. Right. Look at the beauty how Prophet Muhammad ﷺ dealt. How he was. And there's so much more to share. But now the other side. Ukhti, I will only give you two hadith, inshaAllah. The first one, when Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, I can't go into all of them, but we'll take one. When Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا أَوْ بَعْلَهَا قِيلَ لَهَا ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أَيِّ بَابٍ شِئْتْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ إِنْ صَحَّانَا صلى الله عليه وسلم. The meaning says, if a woman prays her five obligatory prayers when she can, of course, and she fasts her month, meaning of Ramadan, when she can, of course, and she protected her chastity, and she was obedient to her husband. But we say, we have to have a disclaimer when we say obedience. Say, لا طاعة المخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience of the creation, meaning your husband, in the disobedience of the creator, meaning Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So we say the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you do these things, ukhti, on a day that's 50,000 years, where the sun leaves its orbit and it's that close to our heads, people will be drenched on your sweat. Imagine, only for doing these things, the 8 gates of heaven will open and say, come through any gate you wish. Subhanallah. Another hadith, when it's dubbed Wafidat al-Nisa, the delegated woman or the ambassador woman, a woman came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, Ya ma'ashar al-rijal, O men, says, you've gotten everything. Because if you go perform jihad, you will get rewarded. If you are harmed, you'll get rewarded. If you die, you die as a martyr. In qiyas, meaning what? If you go perform hajj and umrah, if we go come to perform prayers in congregation, we get the reward. Says, we stay at home, look after your homes, your family, your clothes, your food, and so on. What's in it for us? With him, what's in it for me? So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ looked at her, says, this is an intellectual woman. Very smart question indeed. He says, go back and tell the woman folks. Apparently, I won't go there either. Let's just keep this a family show, inshallah. So go back and tell the woman folks, what? اَدْحُسْنَ تَبَعُ الْإِحْدَاكُنَّ لِزَوْجِهَا يَعْدُلْ كُلَّ هَذَا وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ كُنَّ يَفْعَلُهُ. That you being a righteous, obedient wife to your husband and admit to his rights upon you is equivalent to everything that you mentioned. But he didn't stop there. He says, and only few of you who do. May Allah make you among the few, ukhti. If you want a reward for jihad, if you want the reward for martyrdom, if you want the reward for hajj, the pilgrimage, and umrah, prayer and congregation, be obedient to your husband in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Now when it comes to arguments, never argue in front of your kids. But I'll give you a sample of arguments. Now, we know Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, His own wife asked him a question. And we know who Abu Hanifa, among the four greatest scholars or imams. He was asked by his wife a question. He gave her the answer. He says, no, no, that's not the right answer. It's Abu Hanifa. So he says, who will you take? He says, your student, Abu Yusuf. He goes to his student. He goes, my wife will not listen to me. She will listen to you. He goes, okay, master. Yes, my teacher. What is the question? He tells him the question. He goes, okay, so what is the answer? He tells him the answer. So he goes back to his wife. He says, here is my student, Abu Yusuf. Tell him the question. She gives him the same question as she gave to Abu Hanifa. So he gives her the same answer that Abu Hanifa has given her before. You know what she said? She says, hakada, hakada. That is the right answer. That's the right answer. It was the same answer. But Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi understood that. As Umar ibn Khattab understood. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood. Just in case you're wondering. Even Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha was told by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Wallahi ya Aisha, inni a'lam, I know when you're happy with me and you know when you're displeased with me. She says, when you're happy with me, you say, La wa Rabbi Muhammad. When you're not happy with me, you say, La wa Rabbi Ibrahim. She says, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, la ahjuruka illa bilisani, walakinnaka fi qalbi. Oh, by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, I only abandon you with my tongue, but you're still in my heart. This is what I usually get from the sisters going, oh, they're holding back on me, I know today. Now, Umar ibn Khattab, akhi, Umar ibn Khattab, wa ma adraka ma Umar, you know where Umar is, man. Umar ibn Khattab, among the few, or the one in some narration, is the only one that migrated in daylight. Yes, he says, any of you want to have your children to be orphaned, want to have your wife to be a widow, want your mother to lose a son, follow me behind that valley. I'm migrating. Not one person moved. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu arda was the same one that when he looked back, when men followed him, he looked back suddenly because he remembered something, they passed out. Because they thought Umar is coming back to kill them or something. Umar ibn Khattab was narrated in one of the hadith that he used to sit on the horse, his feet would dangle, touch the floor. He was that big and tall. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu and sahaba jameen, men feared Umar. When he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, a man was coming to complain about his wife. Just before, he knocks on the door. He goes to Umar al-Khattab's home. He hears Umar al-Khattab's wife giving him hard time. I rest my case. So, as soon as he finished, you know, anyone married here? Anywhere that, no, just me? I hear that, okay. I can say that my wife is not here. She was supposed to come here with me, but anyway, it's a long story. I'm not going to cry over it anymore. So, the man just turned around, walked away. Umar al-Khattab opens the door, says, come. You came here for a reason. He says, nah. He says, I came to you to complain about my own wife and I heard what I heard. He says, Ya hadha. He says, she looks after my whims and desires. She looks after the food, she looks after the clothes, she looks after the house, she looks after the kids, she looks after. It's a long list. أَفَلَا أَصْبِرُ عَلَيْهَا. Should I not have patience and deal with her nicely? So this is the rahmah, mawadda. This is the mercy, this is the love and compassion that we should, inshaAllah, strengthen. Now, on the other side, regarding our kids, how to raise them properly. Most of us want to see our kids better than anyone else. There's no other creation on the face of the earth that we want anybody else to be better than them except the parents for their kids. Rest assured that there are the exceptions that you hear about on the news, but it's not the case. I'm sure that you'll know that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda had mentioned something. To us, we should listen. He says, do not raise your children the same way you were raised. Because they were born and raised in a different time and environment than you were. So if you speak to your children, akhi and ukhti, when I was your age, remember that? When I was your age, I used to do this. When I was your age, I used to do that. When I was your age, I go to school, bare feet, in the snow, uphill, both ways. How does that work, man? Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. So I say, please file this record, this broken record, under G. That's where it belongs. They don't listen to you anymore. You have to speak their language. Understand them well. And make sure that you have the 7-year factor, this 21 method. First 7 years, you give them TLC as much as possible. Not the channel, TLC. I don't know if you have it here or not. You know, tender loving care, hug, embrace. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much he used to as a father or a grandfather. What a Hassan wal Hussein radiallahu anhuma wa an al bayt ajma'in. He used to hug him and embrace. He used to be like a fitna. Even when he used to prostrate, what happened? He used to climb his back. He used to prolong this prostration so they can take their time. We know what happened to Al-Ahnaf radiallahu anhu, ibn Qais. He says, "Atuqabbil, you kiss your children?" When he saw Prophet Muhammad kissing Al-Hassan wal-Husayn, what did he say? He says, I wonder about you people. You kiss your children? He says, of course. He says, I have 10 children. I have not kissed any of them yet. So what did Prophet Muhammad say? You're the man. That's strong. Showing no emotions. That's exactly what we're looking for in men. Is that right? Absolutely not. He says, what do I do if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatch the mercy from your heart? Those who will have no mercy on others, Allah will have no mercy on them. Have mercy upon those who are on the earth, so Allah will have mercy upon you in the heavens. So you ask yourself, akhi, when was the last time you hugged your child? When was the last time you gave him a kiss? Do your children run to you or run away from you? Imagine yourself, open the door, and now they say, here comes trouble. Sorry, no, not me, not you.
I'm sorry to do this for you.
I was talking about their father, inshallah. Just like, yeah. Brother go, trouble, I'm just giving you that. In the last 5 minutes I have to share with you, inshallah, just make sure, wallahi, that you don't miss out on your children. Don't be like the man that was asked by his son, how much do you make an hour, dad? And his father just come from home, work, from tired. And he says, get away from me. So his son got upset, cried, turned away and went home to his room. So the father now realized that he made a mistake. He goes back to his son. He goes, I'm sorry, son. I make $10 an hour. He goes, here you go, dad. I've saved $10. Can I have 1 hour of your time? That's the wrong time you say, Ya'ukhti. No, you're right. There is an awe for sure. So don't lose it, akhi. Don't miss out. Because you will spend time with your children, but not in the right environment. You will spend the time with them in that police station, or a rehab center, or. Spend time with them now, before you will have to spend time with them in the wrong place. Aisha radiallahu anha wardaha, sorry, Fatima radiallahu anha wardaha cried when Prophet Muhammad sallam was dying. You know why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallam couldn't get up. Because she was used to, when she comes home to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would get up and kiss her on her forehead and give her his place. That's the beautiful bond. That's the beautiful time you spend with your children. Now, talking quickly to the children, I would only give you one letter. There's too much to share with you when it comes to the other side. I will give you a letter that is written by a mother. يكتب بسواد العين. Should be imprinted in your minds and never leave. This mother is writing to her own son. And she says, Ibunay, O my son, so many years ago, I have heard the great news, and mother's son know the great news when I heard from the doctor that I was pregnant. It become a burden. I breathe heavily. I eat forcibly. I turn with difficulties. I get up with anguish. I move with pain. As you grew, so did my love to you. And there came a night, O my son, Wallahi ra'aytul maut bi'ayni. By Allah, I saw death with my own eyes. I went through the labor pain. It was all gone when I saw that beautiful face smiling. I had sleepless nights so you can sleep. I went hungry so you can eat. I went thirsty so I can quench your thirst. Oh, my goal was to see you happy. I smiled when I saw you smile. I cried when I saw you cry. You grew to a beautiful, strong young man. And I remember your first talk. I remember your first walk. I remember the first time that you went to school. I remember the first time when you graduated. Now you've grown. You become a strong man. You're looking for a wife. So I ran right and left to look for that wife that you were hoping for. And I did find her. But only to miss that son that I had. It only made me think and question myself. What sin have I done? What mistake have I committed? When you were the one that I raised with my own hands. Treat me like one of your friends. Come see me once in a while. I will not raise my hands to the heaven and complain about you to Allah. Because it will be answered, but that will pain me because I still love you. But oh my son, be careful. The gray is starting to show in your hair. And one day we will meet in the front of Allah. And one day you will be writing this letter with your own tears to your own son. Oh my son, come back before it's too late. With this, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us as He gathered us in this dunya, to gather us in heaven with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wahum alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallam alayhi wa sahbihi wa tabi'een. Jazakumullah khayran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.